My eyes search the therapist's office, trying to soak in as much new information as I can in a short time. You can tell a lot about someone by how they decorate their personal space. The first thing I look for are his credentials, which I find almost immediately. Proudly displayed on the front wall is a certificate for Dr. Matthew Harrison, Certified Therapist. My shoulders relax a little until his voice interrupts my train of thought.
Tobias, tell me more about the experience you had with your family as a child. We touched on it briefly last week, but we didn't have the time to delve into it as much as I would have liked. Let's pick up where we left off. Tell me about that morning. What were you all doing? Where were you about to go?
My throat fights an imaginary lump as I try to swallow. My hopes were really high that I wouldn't have to talk about this. What could something that happened when I was 7 have anything to do with my life now? Reluctantly, I begin. My family got together for Easter and decided to go camping. The adults very much enjoyed hiking and fishing. They thought it would be fun for us kids to get some outdoors exposure also. A little time away from Saturday morning cartoons and Game Boys.
Say your family got together. How many of you were there? Is there a large or intimate gathering?
Well, there was Mom, Dad, my older brother Scott, my younger brother Jeff, Aunt Charlotte, Uncle David, and their 3 kids, my cousins Adam, Renee, and Nick. So, 9 of us in total. We didn't get together very often. My family was like that. They ran hot and cold. Either we went on trips together and called each other every day, or we didn't speak for months. We all met up at the house. They helped us pack our minivan before they headed off in their own. My parents were very excited. I remember them in the front seat laughing and blaring Jimmy Buffett on the radio for us to sing along to. Jeff slept most of the way, and Scott listened to his Walkman, headphones in, most of the time. He didn't speak much unless it was voting for where to stop and eat, but I think he was happy. I could tell by the wistful smile on his face as he looked out the window. Being the oldest, Scott got to participate in a lot more things than Jeff and I did. He always got so excited to go camping. I didn't share his enthusiasm and hoped that the appreciation would come with age. Hantoon Island was exactly 5 hours away from our house by car. From what I remembered at my young age, we would have to park the car, gather our belongings, and be taken to the campsites by boat. That was the part I was looking more forward to, the boat ride. Of course, Jeff cried the whole damn way and ruined it for us. I can remember wishing I was deaf. He was scared of the water and the noise, I suppose. Anyway, I'm getting off track. We all got to the island. Our parents picked the 4th and 5 trails to walk down. The kids trudged and whined about having to carry their own stuff. I just wanted to get my tent set up so I could play the Game Boy I had hidden away in my backpack. We finally arrived and started setting up camp, settling in, and Mom started working on a fire for dinner with the promise of s'mores for later that evening. The sun was still high enough in the air to give light, but low enough to provide a cool atmosphere to play in. The woods were still and peaceful. My cousins and I played a roaring game of tag. Dad taught Scott how to gut and clean a fish. Moments like those made me happy to be considered little. He could go ahead and have that privilege. I was happy to run and get my hands dirty with, well, dirt and not fish guts. The s'mores were delicious, and soon the adults were shooing us kids off to our tents for bed. We were split into two groups. Renee, Jeff, and I were in one tent. Scott, Nick, and Adam, who were all older, in the other. My parents, aunt, and uncle headed in a couple hours and many rounds of Super Mario 2 later. The night breeze through the deadening fire felt amazing, and soon I was asleep. I was startled awake by a rustling to the left of our tent. Jolting upright, I looked to the rest of the tent. Jeff and Renee were in a deep sleep, blissfully unaware of any noise. It didn't sound like footsteps at all, more like a scurrying. I had seen enough scary movies and cartoons to know that all kinds of animals live in the woods, and lots of them would harm you if given provocation. I switched on the power to my Game Boy for light. My eyes took a moment to calibrate to the contrast of light against pitch black. But I finally saw it. Right outside of the tent was a gnarled, almost humanoid silhouette of what looked like an Easter bunny. Doc, I can't. This feels stupid. A fucking Easter bunny?
Well, Tobias, is that what you saw? Are you intentionally telling this tale right now, knowing it's untrue?
No, not at all. It sounds crazy, but that's what I saw. It was about a little over 5.5 feet tall, and it definitely had two pointed bunny ears. There was no mistaking that whatsoever. I can remember digging my nails into my palms, fist balled, trying not to cry or make noise. Finally, in one swoop, I lifted the side of the tent and poked my head out from underneath. There was nothing there. Passing it off as some sort of waking nightmare, I laid back down and squeezed my eyes shut. 2 minutes later, I heard it again, on the other side of the tent this time. The figure was right outside, next to where Renee soundly slept. It stood there for a few moments, then retreated. 10 minutes later, I heard the noise again. It came back next to my side of the tent this time. My breath caught in my throat and I slowly leaned forward, my hand pressing through the fabric of the tent. It wasn't long at all until something pressed back, shoving my hand. It knocked me off of my feet and into Jeff, who started crying immediately. The figure ran off through the woods. The next morning, at breakfast, I told everyone what had happened to us the night before. My tiny voice demanded to know if the older kids had pulled a practical joke. My mom and dad smiled and shook their heads. My Aunt Charlotte wrapped me in a big hug and assured me my cousins wouldn't do something like that to scare us little ones. I hated when she called me that. Little one. Funny thing is, now I'm a foot taller than her, if not more. No one believed me, and we went back home the next day. The Easter Bunny didn't visit me that final night, but I still didn't get a wink of sleep wedged between Mom and Dad for security. The boat ride was exciting for a whole different reason that day. It was taking me to safety, away from the creature that terrorized my tent. When we got home that night, a special report was on the television. Reports had been filed about a man wanted for murder. He tended to kill people from out of town as to avoid local suspicion. He was reported to be very deranged and dressed in costumes to carry out his kills, often portraying a symbol of innocence or joy. He presented the bodies all the same way. Feet cut off and placed by the victim's ears, their body placed in a zipped-up sleeping bag.
Why do you think you were able to escape death, Tobias? What made you so lucky?
The only thing I can think of is when Jeff cried, it either scared him off or made him do a morality check. Maybe he had a problem with killing children. Our tent was the largest, so it was safe to assume that it belonged to the adults. Why does this matter?
Oh, it matters a great deal, especially when it comes to your hearing. We need to establish some kind of route to the road to you being mentally unhinged. It will make your case easier on you and heighten your chances to avoid a prison facility.
Yes, but what does that have to do with any of this? Dr. Harrison opens a folder, takes a photo out, and slides it within my view.
I'm not sure, Tobias. Maybe you can tell me.
The photo contains my latest victim, the one that got me put in here. A middle-aged woman sleeping peacefully in a sleeping bag. Two gray feet placed by her ears. At least one good thing came from all of this. Now, I love to go camping.
Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I wanted to tell you a great big thank you for watching tonight's video. I'm also going to tell you about one more thing because I want to be a good husband. My wife's tea shop is open again. If anybody had missed out on your chance before to order her mixed herbal tea blends, then now's your chance. And she's putting out some new Dungeons & Dragons themed tea now that it's open. It's what she does. She does mixed Dungeons & Dragons teas. The tea shop is etsy.com/ivorymonocletea. And I hope you guys enjoy that or want to check her out because she's cool. And Susie from the Game Grumps even got stuff from her. So it's people like it.